Voyage.
Welcome to this edition of Scumbags of History with your hosts Brittany Schmidt and Mateen Stewart.
I'm talking about scumbags of history. Talking about these people suck ass. They were pieces of shit. They still pieces of shit. Scumbags of history. Scumbags of history.
Mother Teresa, Dr. Seuss, Gandhi, is it possible that these enlightened historical figures were total scumbags? That's what we are trying to decide on Scumbags of History, where we pick through the dirty underwear pile of the lesser known facts about some of the famous people society has put on a pedestal. We are your hosts, confirmed scumbags, Brittany Schmidt.
Mateen Stewart.
We are comedians, not historians. Nope. So we're probably going to get stuff wrong from time to time. So don't use us ever as a reference in your paper.
Hell no.
Hell no. Let's get started. Today we are doing Coco Chanel.
Okay. At first I thought you could say today we're doing Coke.
Today we're doing.
So Coco Chanel.
Tell me what you know about her.
I don't know anything about her. I know she has a perfume. Is that the perfume lady? Mm-hmm. Chanel? Mm-hmm. Chanel number 5.
Uh-huh.
That's a very expensive brand. I've never bought a woman any Chanel. Anything.
Of course you haven't.
I just don't like expensive things like that. My taste is a little different.
Even though I probably look like I'm just zooted from head to toe in Chanel, I am not big into brands either. So I don't know a whole lot about her, but I know she is like the queen of luxury. Chanel is like one of the highest.
She is a queen of luxury. Is she still alive?
No, she's dead.
She dead?
She dead.
Yeah. So I know she has luxury items, purses. Chanel number 5, that's her signature smell. And that's it. That's all I know about her.
That's pretty good.
Yeah.
Honestly, she also like redefined the little black dress, like the sexy little black dress.
Little black dress. That's
Like before her, pretty much women only wore black dresses to their husband's funeral.
Oh, so she made it like.
Yeah, she like chic. She kind of like redefined fashion.
Is that an acronym or initialism? Little black dress? LBD?
I don't know.
I've seen that hashtag before, like LBD. Everyone needs an LBD. Like every woman needs an LBD.
Are you sure it's not a BBL?
No, every woman needs a BBL. I mean,
did you know BBLs have the same death rate as open heart surgery?
Yes. A woman just died from wilding out because of it.
She was getting a BBL?
They call it a mommy makeover.
Well, that's like everything. That's not just a BBL.
Yeah, but I mean, it's part of it.
Yeah, and she had a heart attack and died.
Would you ever get a BBL?
No, why would I? I got ass. Okay. Oh, whoa. No,
I said okay. If you have an ass, you have ass.
You didn't say okay like you fucking meant it.
No, what I'm going to be like, oh, you got an ass.
I do. Anyway, yes. Okay, anyway, back to Chanel.
Does she have an ass?
I honestly have no idea what she looked like, but I bet she didn't because she was a fashionista. She was a fashion lady and they're always skinny.
Rail thin.
Yeah, they don't eat much.
I've never been in a rail thin.
No, shocking. She was born in 1883. She was a French fashion designer.
Whoa, she's that old?
Well, she's dead now.
But when I think of Chanel, I don't think of 1883.
Yeah, she's like iconic. She's like historical.
See,
she's
I thought
back in the day, dog.
Okay, you know who? I'm stupid.
Yeah.
You know who I'm thinking of?
Who?
Donatella Versace. Oh my God.
She's still alive.
I know. Okay, continue.
Yeah, but like the OG Versace got shot in his mansion.
Yeah, I remember that.
In Miami.
Andrew Cunanan.
She ruled Parisian couture for nearly 60 years and is frequently considered the most influential women's wear designer of the 20th century. She didn't like the maximalist clothing of that era. It was like corsets and it was very uncomfortable. So she basically designed like sleek suits and sailor shirts and wide leg pants and the little black dress. And she redefined women's fashion.
So she was French.
She was French.
Is Coco short for something?
No. So Coco, she got that name because when she was still struggling, she used to like sing in sleazy nightclubs. She was a singer and she sang about this sad little dog named Coco. And that's how she got.
Coco.
Yeah, that's how she got her name.
Wow.
Yeah, but she was born Gabrielle Bonheur Chanel.
So her real name, her last name was Chanel.
Yeah.
Yeah.
iconic. But she used Poorman's fabrics, like jersey. So that's like your fave.
Like
basketball.
Like basketball jersey?
No, I think jersey. Well, actually, I don't know what jersey is. I'm not.
We have to find out what jersey is. It's a type of fabric, though.
Yeah.
Okay. Have you ever owned a Chanel anything?
When I was in like eighth grade, my friend's mom was selling fake Chanel bags.
Oh, wow.
And I remember I saved up all of my money. It was like $75, which was, I thought,
was
like
a lot of money.
All the money in the world to buy this pleather, white pleather.
So it wasn't even real leather. It was that fake. It was like fake.
It was like plastic. It was like what a fireman's costume is made out of.
So like a sexy fireman's costume.
Yeah, it was like shiny white fake leather with huge gaudy C's on it.
Because it's a backwards C's.
Yeah, and okay. It said Chanel, and it had chains. And I remember when I, because it was a big bag, and I would put like my books in it, and the chains would like dig into my shoulder, and I'm like, fashion hurts, baby.
Yeah, fashion hurts. That's what somebody told me the other day. They were wearing shoes that were messed up.
Yeah.
And they were like, I kept them on because of fashion.
Yeah, I don't get that. Like, remember when Kim Kardashian was pregnant with North and she wore those plastic heels and her swollen feet were like bulging out.
Looking like
she's like, it's fashion. I'm like,
looking like an evil stepsister.
Like, wear a sneaker, Kim. Ugh. Come on.
Okay.
So anyway, in the 1920s, she introduced the true basis of her empire, which is the Chanel No. 5 perfume, which you did know about.
Okay, yes.
Props. She was the second major fashion designer to dabble in scents. In 1954, Marilyn Monroe told an interviewer that she slept naked except for Chanel No. 5, cementing its place. It's like incredibly sexy.
The icon, Marilyn Monroe.
Iconic.
So two icons made this whole thing.
Yeah, I mean,
because without Marilyn Monroe saying that, a celebrity could just say one thing and it just blows up.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so like Jackie O and Katherine Hepburn and all these bitches.
All the people that had sex with JFK.
Yeah. This is actually probably JFK's favorite
yes,
scent.
Yes, yes.
It had nothing to do with these women and what they liked. JFK he was just
attracted to the scent.
Mm-hmm.
Who can blame him?
Honestly.
I don't even know what it smells like.
It smells like old books. It smells like an old dusty woman. Mm. I mean, there's like, it's a very specific scent. Like this crazy lady that used to live in my apartment would wear it and the elevator would smell like her. Every time I would get into the elevator, I knew if Patty had been around because there was like Chanel.
Patty had that smell.
Yeah, Patty.
Have you ever had a signature smell?
No.
You never like had a perfume that you wore?
I mean, I do now. I wear Le Labo, but.
Okay. Is that a brand or the name of the?
That's the brand.
The brand.
Yeah.
It's not like a Le Labo.
Le Labo.
Le Labo. Labia Le Labo.
Lay down.
Lay down with Labia Le Labo. No, I wore, back in the day, I wore a Versace blue jean.
Of course you did.
And Curve. And
did you wear Axe?
I never wore Axe body spray. So Curve, Versace blue jean. And now I wear Lacoste, which is a good brand, but
seems like you're shopping at TJ Maxx.
And then Savage is Savage. Is that Chanel? No, that's,
isn't that the thing that Johnny does?
Yeah.
It's just, you just put on eyeliner and yes. spray it on.
No,
your
I wore a Savage in my Uber the other day, and the guy was like, "What is that smell?"
That's how you know you got to
wear
it.
I know, and I was like, "I'm never wearing this." He goes, "What is that smell? It smells." He told me it smells strong. This guy from Serbia, he goes, "What does that smell? It smells strong."
How do you know he was from Serbia?
Because I asked him.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
And then did you tell him, do you know Johnny Depp?
Yeah, I did. No, I said it's Savage. Mm. And I spelled it. It spelled weird, but he was like, that doesn't
sound like Savage.
Yeah. It's like with a U in it. But
yeah.
Yeah. I want
the European.
I'll never wear that again. He says, "What does that smell?"
You should have just gave him the bottle.
I know. I should have. I had it.
Yeah. Back to Coco Chanel.
All the things about her.
Okay, so here's what you don't know about her. She was born in a poorhouse.
A poorhouse or a whorehouse?
A poorhouse,
okay.
A poorhouse.
So she grew up poor.
So
essentially rags to riches.
Uh-huh. To a laundry woman and a traveling salesman. Wow. I didn't know a laundry woman was a job. Isn't that just a maid?
Yeah, or just a woman in 1883.
At a laundromat.
In 1883.
Just a lady. Yeah. Just a lady in a house.
Yeah, so that means she had to, in 1883, so they had to wash clothes by hand. Ooh.
The mom did.
Yeah. And what was the dad selling? Do you know?
No idea. But okay. After her mom died, she was 11. Her father sent her two brothers to be farm laborers while her and her two sisters were sent to a convent.
Huh?
Uh-oh, bitch is hopping in my top. We're going back to church.
We're going back to church, baby.
We cannot avoid it. No. While she didn't receive a formal education, she did learn how to sew there, which is going to be important later. And she was inspired by the nuns' black and white attire.
So she had to go to school at the Covenant, but they didn't teach her anything.
Except for how to sew.
How to sew.
And then also she liked the black and white. She was inspired by the black and white nun attire, which I was too in Halloween of 2008.
Yeah, when you were the sexy nun, right? The sexy nun. Was it sexy nun or slutty nun?
It was just a nun. It was just a whore nun. And I got stuck in an elevator. There was like 12 of us in an elevator, and one of my friends was dressed as a construction company.
12 people?
Yes, way too many people. And it got stuck. We were stuck in between
floors. That's my nightmare.
It was a nightmare. Luckily, we were all shit-faced. It got stuck in between floors, and we pried the doors open, and we were in between floors, and it was like, okay, if it starts moving and we're trying to
get out, you're
gonna
die.
Yeah, you're gonna die.
Yeah.
So we started getting everyone out, and then my friend, who was dressed as a construction barrel, he propped it in there, so if it started moving, it would crush the barrel first. And he propped it in there, and he was the last one. And as he was getting out, everyone else got out. As he was getting out, he barely made it out, and it snapped the barrel in half. But then we all got
first. Then you got continued drinking.
Yeah, we kept going. To be young. He just didn't have a costume. He was in underwear.
Yeah, just saved everyone's life, guy.
Yeah, just that guy. So anyway, after that, she found work in Moulins, France. That's definitely not how you say it.
That's how we're gonna say it. Moulins, France. We're in Moulins.
Moulins. As a seamstress. By night, she sang sleazy cabarets. So this is where she gets her little nickname.
Coco.
One of the two songs she would sing was called, not gonna say this, Coco.
Kivovu Coco?
I can't say it. I'm not French. It was a silly song about a girl who couldn't find her dog Coco. So that's where she got her name.
Okay. Anyway, what makes it sleazy?
She's probably taking her clothes off.
Because it's France.
It is France.
In the 20s?
Yeah. And honestly, France right now, I mean, they're not too great to women.
Nah. Just all hairy armed and everything.
Yeah. They don't think women really deserve rights for real. Yeah. So.
I can't imagine being a woman. That's it.
Why?
History.
Because time hasn't been too nice to us.
Yeah.
All right. So anyway, when she's in this city nightlife scene, she met a cavalry officer at Etienne Balsan. These names can suck my dick. I don't know how to say these at all.
Plus, you just have fufu.
And she became his mistress.
So he was married.
He was married.
That doesn't make her a scumbag.
No, woman after my own heart. Yeah. Never let a wife keep you from getting a boyfriend. That's what I always say.
That's going to be on Britney's tombstone. Never let a wife keep you from getting a boyfriend. Ladies, gentlemen.
So she moved into his chateau.
Which is house, I know that.
But doesn't it seem like a fancy house?
Yeah, chateau's like maybe he has.
If you have enough house for a wife and a side bitch.
Oh, yeah.
That's a chateau.
That's a chateau, yeah. Chateau.
She put the ho in chateau.
I like it. We thought of the same thing at the same time.
Okay, she met a wealthy, while she's living in this guy's house, this bitch is moving and grooving. She met a wealthy shipping merchant and polo player. That's my kind of guy.
Mm-hmm.
Arthur Boy.
So polo is the sport with the horses.
Horse, and you hit that stick.
Hit the ball.
Yeah.
Okay.
So these two guys are fighting over her ass. Or as she put it, two gentlemen were out bidding for my hot little body.
Wow, she said that.
She said this.
In the 20s.
Honestly.
This is like early 1900s.
Yeah.
Yeah. Her hot little body. Wow.
This is insane. They eventually agreed to split the cost of establishing her house of Chanel. So two guys wanted that puss so bad. They were like, we're both going to go halvesies.
Dude.
On House of Chanel. And it was a hat shop.
The throat goat.
Absolute.
She had to be.
Yeah, absolute. I mean, she was turning some sort of tricks for sure. So Dave Chappelle later financed her first clothing boutique. Her clothes were a huge success, and then she became financially independent. So then she cuts these guys off.
So she got what she needed from the men.
Yeah, and then she moved the fuck on. Yeah. So she's honestly an icon. She's a little hustler.
Yeah, she is.
I mean, you think you grew up poor. You have to survive.
Yeah.
She did her thing. So by the late 20s, she was worth millions and had 2,000
millions in the 20s,
which is crazy. Yeah.
For a woman. Wow.
For a woman.
No, I mean, in the 20s, you just got the right to vote in America in 1920.
Really?
For her to, yeah. And for her to be a millionaire in the 20s, that's huge.
Yeah, she had a perfume lab, a textile mill, and a jewelry shop. But anyway, the war broke out. And so this is going to cramp a bitch's style. Mm-hmm. And so she had to close her store. And she stayed out of fashion for years. And this is where things start to get a little dicey.
A little dicey.
Well, in 1954, she comes back. And she comes back with her Chanel suit, which is like one of the most timeless, iconic
pieces. So in 54... She
54 was, is after the war. So like there's a break. There's during the war, we're gonna get into like some dicey shit. But I just want to say that she did make a comeback where she had this suit. And if you accounted for inflation, this suit now today would be $55,000 for one suit.
Did someone buy this suit or it was just for sale?
Yes, people bought it. Peter bought
it. What? Oh, so she was selling these.
This is, yeah, post-war.
Post-war.
Post-war style.
Wow.
Yeah. Okay. So for some reason, we're going to talk about how she died in 1971 at the age of 88 in her Ritz Hotel suite, which is how I want to die. Okay. And then Karl Lagerfeld kind of took over the torch. You know about Karl?
No, I don't know.
Well, he's dead too. So.
Karl Lagerfeld.
But he wasn't as much of a scumbag. But let's get into why Chanel had a few flaws.
So 1954, she comes back after the war. Selling these $55,000 dresses.
I just want you to know that at the end, she's victorious because she died in a Ritz.
She died in a Ritz-Carlton. Mm-hmm. That's the way to die.
That's where I want to die.
In a
Ritz-Carlton. Didn't Anna Nicole Smith die in like a...
A hotel, a motel, I think.
It was like an MGM Grand.
Yeah, something, yeah. Oh, she died in like Vegas.
Hard Rock.
Hard Rock, yeah.
She died at the Hard Rock,
mm-hmm.
which is also the thing that she was doing.
Hard Rocks. Yeah. Yeah, Hard Rocks.
Her life was hard.
Hard Knock, Hard Rocks.
Yeah. Okay, we're going to take a break for our sponsors. Don't go anywhere. We are getting back into the scumbag facts when we come back. So she had some character flaws. She was a well-established social climber who used people mercilessly and traded up the social ladder, which is like...
She's a climber.
She belongs in Hollywood.
Yeah.
Bring her over.
We know seven.
She was rubbing a seven.
I mean,
100.
At least.
Every person. Every person. Okay, she was rubbing shoulders and other body parts
mm-hmm,
with mm-hmm. the likes of multiple dukes.
Multiple dukes.
Mm-hmm.
Like dukes of hazards or like.
No, she was popping pussy for dukes.
Dukes.
Dukes like royalty.
Like royalty.
Yeah.
Wow, she had that royal snatch.
There's something going on with Coco Chanel. Because she is getting
can
all...
Can we pull up a picture of this lady?
Yeah, I would actually
please, like to see. Please, I want to see what she looks like. What? Come on, man.
Does she have a unibrow?
This is what people were fighting over. I'm sorry if I'm being this person.
You
but,
are.
I mean...
She looks a little bit like Elvis.
Can we get another picture?
She looks a little bit like Elvis and she's got tight lips.
That's Anne Frank. She kind of, she looked like she was locked in the
just a journal.
Yeah. Let's, okay.
No, so she's not much to look at, but she must have sucked a mean dick.
Or something, man.
Yeah.
That's someone
she's
playing
her. She's
also
like a visionary and a hustler. I mean, there's personality. You know some people that are ugly and then you meet them in person and you're like, oh,
no,
goddamn.
No. That doesn't happen for men.
Oh, I see what you're saying. Like men aren't attracted to personality.
No, men aren't attracted to personality.
I don't think that's true.
I mean,
let's think of a really hot guy who's with a T.I.
But they were young. She didn't always look like that. No. But like usually if you see a hot guy with a woman.
T.I. is fucking fine.
But I'm just saying though.
Tiny is.
But maybe she had, but she was more successful than he was. So that's money.
When?
Dude, when she was when she was in NSYNC. When she was in Escape.
She was I in didn't Escape. Know she had a career. I just
she was in Escape.
I don't know what that is.
It's a R&B
an escape
group.
Room?
No, it's an R&B group.
Okay.
What I need from you is understanding.
Okay, so there's Chanel.
No.
The pearl necklace.
She looked like the mask. Man, come on.
You're
dude,
trash.
I am
you're
trash.
A scumbag.
I am a scumbag. I am a certified scumbag.
Okay, so let's get back to
her scumbag.
So anyway, more importantly, here's her big flaw is okay. She is pretty anti-Semitic.
Yeah. Oh, that's a huge flaw.
Yeah, that's a big one.
This is a huge flaw.
Okay, but yes. Okay. I'm not going to defend her.
No, you can't. You can't.
I'm not going to defend her. It may have stemmed from her childhood growing up Catholic, but people have been quoted to say Chanel's fear and hatred for Jews was noxious and notorious.
So she was team Hitler?
Unfortunately, yeah.
Oh, wow.
So she most notably...
Scumbag. Ding, 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 ding. There it is.
It gets worse. Okay, so she famously had a long relationship with a high-ranking Nazi intelligence officer, Hans Günther von Dinklage. Great name.
Hans Günther von Dinklage.
Von Dinklage. Ugh. Starting around 1941, throughout World War II, they shacked up at the Ritz in Paris. Again, she's at the Ritz.
She's put on the Ritz.
Imagine being in World War II at the Ritz.
In Paris. While bombs are going off. And people are dying.
You're just eating croissants.
And caviar.
Sucking Nazi dick and eating croissants. And lattes.
Oh my God.
She's like, ooh, it seems crazy out there. Just spring.
I'm glad I'm not one of them.
Yeah. Hanging out with her boo meant a new kind of social climbing amongst powerful Nazis. Now, this is important. Chanel's nephew, Andre, had fought the German invasion with the French army in 1940 and was languished to a PO war camp, and Chanel was determined to free him. So in 2011, author and journalist Hal Vaughn published a book, Sleeping with the Enemy, Coco Chanel's Secret War, arguing that while personally meeting with Hitler.
Wow, she met with Hitler.
Well, it looks like Chanel's boyfriend, Dinklage, may have indicated Chanel's anxiety about her nephew. However, it happened. The German military intelligence did find out about Chanel's predicament and agreed to free Andre in exchange for Chanel going on a trip to spy on her powerful ally connections, who included Winston Churchill.
Winston Churchill.
So she's spying on Winston to get Andre out of.
So they were like, hey, Chanel, you want your nephew out? We need you to do this.
Yeah, so Chanel continued working with the Nazis on missions and even had an agent number, F7124. She should have made that a perfume.
Yes. How is her agent number not 5? How is it? It's right there.
Yeah.
Agent 5.
CH number 5.
Yes.
Her code name was Westminster. Her lover. So yeah, she went on all these little journeys to get information. By 1943, the Parisians.
From Paris.
So the Parisians begun violently resisting their Nazi occupiers, and Nazi leaders told Chanel's lover, Dinklage, to leave Paris. Peter Dinklage has to go. has to get out of Paris. But obviously she didn't want to be separated from the Duke. So she devised a plan to leverage her friendship with socialite Vera Bate, who was even closer to Winston Churchill than she was. And according to Vaughn, she thought she could barter her friendship with Winston Churchill to persuade the Nazis that she and Dinklage had the contacts to broker a separate peace deal with Britain.
So she brokered the deal for peace?
No, she tried to just say like, yeah, he's a Nazi, but he can stay.
Because
I have friends in high places and I'm Coco Chanel. Okay. Yeah. Which is wild behavior.
Was powerful.
I mean, she had something. She had the fucking sauce.
Dude, she did all this. So they know that she was working for the Nazis?
So Bate confessed immediately, not a good friend. Okay. Vera Bate is a backstabbing hoe. Confessed to the authorities about the scheme, and Chanel was arrested and interrogated for hours. But without any hard evidence, she was released. Many believe Churchill intervened.
I mean, she definitely slept with Winston Churchill.
This is hilarious. When asked about the relationship, she claimed she dated the Nazi because she was old and didn't have many romantic options. Saying, wait, no, she said, really, sir, a woman of my age cannot be expected to look at his passport if she has a chance of a lover.
Oh, my God.
I'm with her. Oh, we saw her young.
Oh, my God. She said that I had to be with a Nazi.
She said I had
because
to pop
this my options enough. Were low because I'm an old lady. Oh my God.
At least she knows her place. I'm telling you.
Wasn't a Nazi guy old too?
But that doesn't matter. Look at De Niro's having a fucking baby with a 23-year-old right now.
I know, but I'm just like.
Old guys.
Dude, I look past his anti-Semitic behavior and him killing people because he likes me.
Okay, so anyway, after Paris was freed from Nazi control, many horizontal collaborators, that's women who had slept with Nazis, were dragged into the streets and had their heads shaved.
Whoa. Listen, they call them horizontal collaborators?
That is the name of my next comedy album.
Oh my God. Horizontal collaborators.
I am a horizontal.
Yes,
you're not just with Nazis.
I just put you put the whore. The NBA. You put the whore in horizontal collaboration.
You're trash. You know that.
I am. Yes,
you're fucking
I am.
Trash. I but am. Anyway, they were dragged into the streets and had their heads shaved and swastikas branded onto their skin.
Whoa!
But she didn't. Obviously, Chanel didn't have to do that.
Wow.
If you were fucking a Nazi, you got fucked.
You got fucked.
Yeah, yeah. They were mad at you. They were not happy. They didn't care how hot they were.
Dude, horizontal collaborators. Damn.
Horizontal collaborators.
But so, she didn't get it.
No, she escaped that. And listen to this. She's such an opportunist. She even handed out bottles of Chanel No. 5 to American soldiers to bring to their wives back home. Yeah. Yeah. Establishing it as a scent of liberation. This bitch is a marketing
genius.
Dude,
she is a marketing genius. Scumbag.
Scum.
Genius.
But smart. This isn't the full extent of Chanel's anti-Semitism, though. Damn, this bitch keeps going.
She really hates Jewish
people. Goddamn. Okay, so she was willing to collaborate with Jews when it helped her business. Oh, she went in with the Jewish business mogul, Pierre Wertheimer, in the 20s to make Chanel No. 5 a reality. Because he covered the full cost of producing Chanel No. 5, Chanel agreed to a contract giving him 70% of the profits. She got 10%. The other 20% went to the department stores. This agreement always infuriated Chanel. She filed so many lawsuits about it that Wertheimer had a full-time lawyer just to deal with
her. Just to deal with her. So he paid for everything, and she only got 10%.
Yeah, which was still probably so much money.
I know. I
think when the Aryan laws came into effect in Paris, I don't even know what that means.
Aryan laws.
Yeah, it says Aryan laws, which stripped the Jews of property. That sucks.
And Aryan is far like Aryan nation.
Yeah. Okay. That's what that means. Yeah. All right, not great.
Root word. It's right there. Aryan laws. Stealing things from people who aren't Aryans.
They stripped the Jews of property and gave it to non-Jews. Chanel attempted to leverage this to gain full control of her empire. The Wertheimers had fled to Paris, so Chanel declared the business abandoned and claimed it. What a fucking bitch. God, she's just so conniving. Okay, hoping to achieve this may have been part of the reason she continued to collaborate with the Nazis even after her nephew was freed. So the Wertheimer.
Whoa.
Okay.
So her nephew got free.
And then she still kept fucking with the Nazis.
Oh my God.
Yeah, she couldn't stop.
She's a fucking scumbag.
She's trash. And then during the war, the French government asked Chanel to design the suits for the females. And she was like, you must be joking. The most non-patriotic
thing.
Fucking Nazi bitch.
Yes. They asked her. She was like, no. Hiles.
Yeah. She's like, you mean the people fighting my people?
Oh, and she's from France.
She low-key probably designed the Nazis. Yeah. She probably did the swastika.
She did. Yeah.
So anyway, Chanel also sucked to work for when the labor union started asking for vacation time. And
she was like, fuck that shit.
Unemployment insurance. Yeah. She was like, nope. And then they striked and she just didn't care.
She didn't care. So did she hire scabs?
I don't know what a scab is.
Like, so when someone goes on strike, and then, like, if you're in a union and you go on strike, and your company hires people to work, and you cross the picket line. So that's why comedians we'll never have a union.
Right.
Because if we go on strike and we don't work, there'll be, like, 1,000 more comedians. Like, work.
Yeah, gotcha. Okay, so Chanel is also a trash sister.
Trash sister to, like... Like sister of the
Right, remember those two brothers that got sent off?
Yeah.
She was no good.
Okay.
She supported one of her peasant brothers, Alphonse, with a monthly stipend, possibly to keep the pushy guy quiet as she rocketed into high society. But her other brother worked hard and never asked her for any money. However, in 1928, Chanel was hoping that her lover, the Duke of Westminster, one of her dukes.
That was her nickname, Duke Westminster.
Would propose. And she worried that having peasant brothers would make the wedding awkward.
So she's like, you guys can't come to my wedding.
Yeah.
Sacre bleu.
She asked Lucien to stop working and buy a large house she would pay for and eventually even come live in with him. Lucien was touched and agreed, but Chanel never even visited. She asked Lucien to stop seeing Alphonse, possibly because she wanted to make sure the brothers weren't comparing allowances.
Ah, so she was like, hey, y'all live a shitty life. I'm going to make sure y'all look good for appearances.
Yeah.
But I don't want to talk to you.
Yeah.
I mean.
She's like, keep your poor stench away from me. She's like, I've worked very hard. Yeah. And sucked a lot of Nazi dick.
A lot of Nazi dick. to not have to deal with you peasants.
Right, right, right. So then in 1939, after she shut down her fashion house the first time before the war, she wrote Lucian saying that she was living in poverty and couldn't afford to help him anymore. Even though she had a successful boutique and she was still sleeping with a Nazi in the Ritz.
It was so easy just to lie. Without the internet.
So easy. Just write a letter.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm dying. Yeah. I'm in one of Mother Teresa's hospices.
Just a letter was gospel.
Yes, that was it.
Meanwhile, she's in the Ritz. She's
like just doing caviar. And
not doing caviar.
I mean, eating caviar.
Doing cocaine.
On croissants.
Croissants.
The three C's.
It's a croissant, caviar, croissants, and cock.
Yeah, yeah. The three C's, bro. Yeah. That's hilarious. You could just write a letter and be like, yo, I'm sorry. I'm poor now.
Yeah. Okay, so anyway, she was also, here's another little flaw.
A little flaw.
Little tiny flaw. She was like very body shamey to anyone who didn't look like her. So she wanted people to be real thin.
And I want you guys to look and see what this lady looks like. Ugh.
I mean,
I'm sorry to be talking about her looks, but I'm not. She's a piece of shit.
I'm talking about body shaming.
Yes, I know. I'm face shaming.
You're face shaming. Yes. She has a little bit of a butter face. So she didn't give a fuck if you were a movie star. During her time designing clothes for Hollywood, she was dressing Gloria Swanson, and she called Swanson fat and asked her to lose weight, and Swanson came back even heavier, which is gang
shit.
That's
boss. That's boss. I bet Swanson was like $112, and she came back $120. Like I ate.
She's like gang shit. I know, man. Solemn.
Oh my god, dude. I'm glad she did that, but like
Coco Chanel was furious.
She's furious.
Furious. Yeah. She was like, you have no right to fluctuate in the middle of fittings. Lose 5 pounds. Swanson literally said, maybe I can't.
Maybe I can't.
So why doesn't anyone know about this? Like, why is this so hidden? Like,
I don't know. I've never heard any of this stuff.
I know.
I thought
Karl Lagerfeld and everyone who came after her worked night and day to keep it under wraps. Yeah.
How's there not a movie about this?
I mean, there will be. I mean,
there has to be sooner or later.
House of Gucci was so bad. They will never make another
movie. And Adrian Brody will play.
And Lady Gaga.
Lady Gaga.
Cushion. It's perfect because she can sing in a sleazy jazz cabaret.
Yeah. And she'll put on a shitty French accent, like her shitty Italian accent.
To this day, a bottle of Chanel No. 5 sells every 30 seconds. So, on the scumbag scale of 1 to Hitler.
1 to Hitler.
When 100 is Hitler.
100 is Hitler. Zero to Hitler.
Zero to Hitler. Where are we putting the dick-sucking Nazi?
The dick-sucking. She's pretty close.
Yeah, I know.
She's probably.
She was in there. Yeah. She was eating ass.
Yeah. She's pretty close. I would say, I don't know if Hitler had sex with her, but.
We don't know that he didn't.
Yeah, we don't know that he didn't. I pretty think Hitler was homosexual. That's just me.
Okay. Why do you say that?
Because he was a vegan.
Because he put a gun in his mouth.
He put it right in his mouth. Yeah. So he had to have that flesh.
He sucked it off.
Okay. So we're going 0 to 100 being Hitler. So I'm going to give her some bonus points because I didn't know anything about her coming in. So I'm going to go like 87.
Ooh, that's high.
Yeah. I'm going to go like 87.
Okay. So
the thing she did with her family. The workers that she...
I mean, everyone abandoned their family?
I get the family. But I mean,
yeah,
like,
it's like, leave them in the dust. They didn't do shit. Also, they were separated at age 11.
Yeah, I guess.
You
but
can
that's
tell
still
I
pretty
fucking
bad.
Stand for Coco Chanel.
Yeah. You're pretty standing. Okay, so I'm going 87. One, because she was a traitor. I don't like traitors. Like, when it comes to, like, against your
you're
country.
Telling me in war times, and, you say, we're getting nuked by Russia and you have the chance.
Will I suck Vladimir Putin's dick? Is that what you're asking me? Okay, maybe if that's the case.
But I mean, like, Putin's dick and eat croissants at the Ritz or go out in the streets
yeah.
and get fucking nuked?
I would give her, if she was a man, I would have gave her a higher, she would be worse. Mm. Because she did come, she came from racks to riches. And I feel like a lot of times when you come from racks to riches, you forget where you came from. But yeah,
that's the whole point.
Yeah. So I'm going 87.
Okay, that's pretty high.
Yeah, she's awful. She's awful human being.
I mean, She was sucking dicks of bad guys. Yeah. Does that make you a bad guy? A horizontal collaborator. Okay.
But she got away with it, and then she was so evil. She lived to 88. I should have gave her 88 to before she died, but I'm going 87. All right. Well, let me hear what you have to say. Where would you put Coco Chanel? Thing.
I think a lot of this. I know.
Okay, I'm ready for it.
I think a lot of this is just she was just surviving. She was doing what she had to do.
To do what she had to do.
To fucking get where she needed to go.
Mm.
And I don't think that makes you a good. I think she's a scumbag. She's definitely a scumbag, but I wouldn't put her at 87.
What would you put her
at? I would put her at like 52.
52? Oh, I wish you could see my face. After everything that you guys heard today about Coco Chanel, some of you guys didn't know anything about her.
I think I just understand her.
You just understand her.
I think I understand her. I think if I was broke as fuck and I clawed my way to the top and then a war broke out and then my options were go design uniforms for the people or sit in the Ritz and suck enemy dick, I might sit in the Ritz.
So we know where Britney will be when China invades America.
No.
So yeah, so where would you guys rate Coco Chanel on our scumbag scale from 0 to 100? 100 being Hitler, 0 being the perfect person. I go 87. Brittany went 52. 52. That's a little over half.
Yeah, I mean, she's a little over half a scumbag. But I think also like what she did for women, I would still be in a corset right now if she didn't introduce clothes. Women only wore black dresses at their husband's funeral. I would just have to be killing my husband to go out.
Yeah.
Like, she did a lot for fat. Okay,
I would have
and
to,
I don't even really
whoa.
Care about Listen, fat. You
I would
shut
have
the fuck
to kill my
talk.
Husband to go out so I can wear this. I can't wear this cute dress and show my ass. Unless it was Coco Chanel.
That's what she did for us. So anyway, I don't really care about fashion. I know that a lot of people stand for her from a fashion standpoint. I'm just saying from a survival standpoint, I get what she was doing.
So you feel like she was doing it to survive and not because it was who
she
was
as a
person. I think
she was doing it to have... No, she was not a good person. I'm not arguing that, but I think she was doing it to have the best possible life that she could have. And I do think eating croissants and sucking dick at the Ritz is way better than fucking fighting
dying.
A war.
If it was a choice between that, I would eat.
And then she also died in the Ritz. So she just had a brand, which is like, I'm in the Ritz. You can find me at the Ritz. And I sort of like that.
Okay,
I'm going to
tell you something.
At the Ritz.
I'm going to tell you guys something about Britney. That was her favorite part of Coco Chanel, that she died in a Ritz. Because that's like your dream.
Yeah.
Yeah. Never meet your heroes, guys.
Am I your hero?
No, you're not. Well, ladies and gentlemen, that's been our episode. I'm Mateen Stewart.
I'm Brittany Schmidt.
And Scumbags of History. Hey, listeners. Mateen here. Brittany and I just want to say thank you guys for listening to our podcast. It means so much to us. We want to continue to be able to make the show great for you. And an excellent way for us to do that is to make sure that you tell us more about you, who you are, and what you like. There's a survey link in the show notes. If you can fill that out, it would help us continue making the show as great as it can be for you. Thank you. See you later, scumbags.
Someone stands frozen. Their hearts pounding. Sweat pours down their face as they gasp for air. They struggle to get out words, but it's of no use. They are dying. Dying on stage in front of hundreds of people. A comedian's life is not all laughs. Sometimes there is silence. Dead silence. I'm comedian Jeff Charlebois, and with my co-host Golly Krupp, we interview comedians who have returned from beyond the grave to give us their worst bombing experiences on stage and how they rose from the ashes to have a successful comedy career. You may laugh at them, you may even feel for them, but most of all, you'll thank your lucky stars that it wasn't you up on that stage. As they recount the bombing, you'll explode with laughter. So join me on this unique podcast called The Night I Died from Voyage Media, anywhere you listen to podcasts.